Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and my name is Nicholas. My website is crosstheborder.org. Please stop by there and send me an email. Take advantages of the resources there. You can listen to the most recent week's programs there at absolutely no cost. You can listen to all of the studies that I've had occasion to upload to the site there at absolutely no cost. If you'd like to receive things on tape, CD, you can make any requests there that you want. Crosstheborder.org. I've been having a lot of fun going through one of my favorite books in the scripture, and that is the Proverbs, which I started to enjoy at a very young age, at least a young age in Yahuwah, in the Lord. And this book has been a great guide for my life, and I suggest that anyone who has an idea that they would like to be wise, I know that many young people, and perhaps even myself, before I came to know the Lord, I probably thought myself to be a fairly wise person, as most people would like to think that they're wise. But if you think you have room for more wisdom, then perhaps you should take the time for this book, the book of Proverbs, because you'll certainly get it, especially if you persevere and read the book several times, because it takes a little bit to start to understand the book. As I shared earlier, that when I first read the book and when I first began reading the Bible itself, I had an authorized King James version, and it was like almost like a different language, but not quite. And it wasn't because it was King James. It was because it was a different way of thinking, and I had to adjust my way of thinking to come to an understanding. Problem is that most people, when they perchance look at the Bible and they're challenged by that different way of thinking, they'll be tempted to put it down and say, oh, it's just archaic, a bunch of fables, or whatever it takes to comfort themselves, especially when they're convicted of sin. But the book of Proverbs, and that's our study today. And I spend a lot of my time talking about coming out, or, well, not really coming out, but entering into the kingdom of our Heavenly Father. That's the whole meaning of the name of the program and the name of the website, Cross the Border, because I bid everyone everywhere to cross the border into His kingdom from wherever you're at, to leave the kingdoms of this world, to leave these realms that are slated for desolation. They will all come to an end. It's foretold, and there's no turning back the hand of His prophecy from the destruction of all of these nations. So we come to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 25. That's approximately where we left off. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. And brethren, we live in perilous times. We certainly do. If you look at the economy of the nations, you see that they're in great turmoil. The fiat money systems of the world are being devalued. Many of them are being devalued on purpose. Others are being raised up. I believe that those who control the money, those evil men that love money so much that our Heavenly Father has given them the control of money, and it seems a fitting thing and a very wise thing that He has done this. But don't think for a minute that He is not in control. That is our Creator, even though He gives the power of money to those that love money most dearly, because, well, they have the energy to go after it, and it's that love of money that will destroy them, because they will lose sight of that which is truly important. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. I guess I'm repeating myself. Well, I'm not repeating myself. I'm repeating the scripture because of the perilous times that we live in. We see that the dollar is failing, and many nations are cutting it off. And we see that the nation is no longer the head, but it is the tail. And I'm speaking, of course, of the United States of America, and those United States are losing their power and their place in the world and becoming slaves, or, as the scripture says, the borrower is servant to the lender. And we have an enigma in that we are in the position of the borrower, but we are not acting like the servant. Is the word of God wrong? Now, things change. Sometimes they change slowly. And the reality is that while the mantra is repeated over and over and over, that this is the freest country on the earth, and perhaps that was true in the past, that most people that believe that mantra are living in abject slavery without even knowing it. The chains are so much lighter when we don't believe in them, are they not? They're all debt slaves. They've sold their birthright of a free land for a bowl of pottage, basically a promise of benefits. And they've gone down and they've got a number and an identifying mark from another master. And that's the place of America. Otherwise, and it's this other master that has now controlled the money and has devalued it, 40% in the last 6 years. And on purpose. And you see the people that are running for the mouth of the beast. That's what I call running for the president. Let me be the mouth of the beast, you know. Well, you're just a mouth, you know. You don't control the beast. The beast controls the mouth. And they can't figure that out. But let's all keep the illusion alive that we get to choose the person in charge. The person ain't in charge. They're just a mouth of the beast. The beast is in charge. The beast has a life of its own, does it not? Yes, make me the mouth of the beast. And how do you become the mouth of the beast this day? Well, you say the right words. You make the right promises. And it seems like the biggest promise to these days is free medical care and drugs. You know, everybody was. We got a bunch of drug addicts. We got a nation of drug addicts. And, well, can you blame them? You know, with the way life is and how unfulfilling it is, everyone wants to be sedated in one form or another. Or the food supply has been so poisoned by the dainties in the, you know, supermarkets that people don't function right anymore and they have to take drugs to get their body to function right. And, that's all I'm going to say about that. Yeah. But that's why his law is so beautiful. And if we live by his law, if we follow his precepts and, you know, I can hold it all in my hand in a book, and I can know it all, and I can embrace it all, and I can it can be a guide for my life and my feet and my path. Why would anyone want to throw all that off? But anyway, getting back to our context here in the scripture, chapter 3 of Proverbs in verse 25, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. Well, this could refer to a lot of things. We all know sudden fear, but we're not to be afraid of it. We may be jolted by sudden fear. We may feel that rush of adrenaline, but the instruction for us is that whenever we have a sudden fear, that we're not to be afraid of it, that we're to use our mind to control it. And here he speaks of, neither of the desolation, and of course desolation is destruction, neither of the destruction of the wicked when it cometh. Now I look historically at the nation Israel, and I see that our Heavenly Father, he punished the nation Israel over and over again. And how did he punish them? Well, he would bring the heathen hordes in to punish them. Now if Israel was in righteousness, if Israel was practicing righteousness, if they were practicing repentance, if they were practicing his law and his commandments, then they would prevail. And if not, then destruction came and he chastised and he punished that nation for their wickedness. And he, like I said, he usually did it through the heathen, through the kings of the heathen. And you see it over and over if you know your scriptural biblical history at all. So, sudden fear and the desolation of the wicked. Who are the wicked? You have to look around. And you have to realize, you know, as hard as it may be, as much as the humanist manifesto of the world that all men are inherently good, declares the opposite, we have to realize that the majority of the people around us have no regard whatsoever for God's law. And it's so much so that they have institutionalized every wickedness they can. You know, you see it in your lotteries, you see it in your ungodly school systems, you see it in that in the socialist security system, the destruction of the family by the laws of men. And every law that they make goes against God's law, is contrary to his law. So the idea is that desolation can come, but we live in security here. And everyone has been, there's been such peace in the land, at least no threat of any invasion by arms from abroad, although we do have an invasion today. And yes, a lot of people are being murdered by the invaders. That's a statistic that they keep out of the mainstream press. But, you know, we've been fairly safe from the from mechanized war and the invasion of armies as we historically understand war. But can it come? Absolutely. And if it can come anywhere on Earth, it can come here. And that's a good credo to hold on to, or a maxim. If anything can happen anywhere, it can also happen here. Because most people think, well, it can happen somewhere else. It may be happening over there in Iraq. It may be happening over there in the Sudan. It may be happening on the continent of Africa. Perhaps it's happening over there in Afghanistan. But it can't happen here. Yes, wrap your security blanket tightly around yourself. It can happen here. If anything can happen anywhere on Earth, it can happen right where you're sitting. It can come to a town near you. The destruction of the wicked, the desolation of the wicked, can come. And the more wicked the nation becomes, the more likely it is to see this desolation come. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For Yahuwah, the Lord, shall be thy confidence. And whose confidence? Well, those that follow his law, those that seek his wisdom and his knowledge, those that fear his name. He will be your confidence and shall keep your foot from being taken. He goes on, withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. You ever just feel like in your spirit suddenly that you need to help somebody, or you need to give to this or that ministry, or something that you're taking advantage of, something that's ministering to you, something you've received from, but you put it off. You're just too lazy to do something about it. Well, that can apply there. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. He draws an illustration. Say not to your neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when you have it by thee. If you owe someone a day's labor and you have it and they're asking for it, you give it to them. If you have something that's your neighbor's, you don't make up an excuse to keep what is not yours. That's theft. Come on. Let's look at it for what it is. So the preacher here says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due. Don't say to your neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when you have it by thee. If it's due and you don't give it, well, that's another way of expressing theft. There you go. Devise not evil against your neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Well, certainly none of us would do that, would we? But if we go and we vote on things that are going to steal, that allow the government to steal from our neighbor, and we say, oh, well, he's dwelling securely, he can afford it, his relative safety. You know, let's make everyone in the state who has some land, let's make them all pay for our ungodly schooling system. So we can teach our children to, and their children, to be homosexuals, and that abortion is okay, and how to be good little minions for the state, good little citizens, yes. How to be good little statists and idolaters. Well, I feel that theft. I would never send my child to one of their schools, yet if I have property, I have to pay. If I want to build a house and I don't get a permit and pay the school tax per square foot, If I don't pay their protection fee, well, they'll come in with guns. If I try to build something without paying their protection fees, and they'll take my property away and tear down my house, and they might even kill me if I resist. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, Yes, many ways to devise evil against your neighbor. Taking part in a voting system. Of course, you have to be one of theirs to do that. To devise evil. And these guys, they sit up there. They dwell securely. You know, they have, you know, they're earning hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, 10 times at least what they could earn, in the marketplace for the work that they do, because they've voted themselves higher salaries. They think they're special ruling class when they're supposed to be the servants, and they have nothing better to do than sit around and discuss and devise evil against their neighbors because they're in a position to steal from their neighbors and channel their neighbors' money to whatever charity work they deem the most important. Devise not evil against your neighbor. We could go on and on here, but you get the idea. Devising evil against your neighbor, it doesn't mean I'm just sitting down plotting how to steal my neighbor's chicken, you know, or get his eggs or whatever, you know what I mean. Devise not evil against your neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. You know, so, well, he's, you know, he has plenty. So if I take some, by force, by the force of arms, by the threat and duress of the state, if I take some, he'll be okay. He'll still have money for food. He won't miss it. He's dwelling securely by me. Devise not evil against your neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without a cause, if he have done thee no harm. And sometimes if someone harms you, it's best not to strive with them anyway, because perhaps no good can come of it. But it's okay. You know, I mean, we take the opposite. You can't strive with a man if you have a cause, if he has harmed you. And you, if you love your neighbor, well, you may need to do that. You may need to show him the error of his ways to prevent him from harming others and from his own destruction for doing evil. But strive not with a man without a cause if he have done thee no harm. In other words, you could, you know, join in the throng. They work the people up in a fervor, and they whisper lies or perhaps blow something out of proportion to get other people to hate their neighbor too. But the scripture here says that if he has done you no harm, you're not to strive against him without a cause. That's good words to live by. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. Well, the oppressors are always rich. They always get themselves into a place of power where they can oppress other people. And oppressors can be simple people, too, who don't have much. They just like to oppress whoever they can, whoever they have under their power. But choose none of his ways. For the froward is an abomination to Yahuwah. The froward. And we discuss that word. That is someone who turns aside. They depart. They're perverse. Froward. They are an abomination to the Lord. But his secret is with the righteous. And you know that secret is the knowledge of our Creator. The knowledge of the wisdom of keeping his commandments. That's a hidden thing from those who have no clue, from those who are, well, froward, who are an abomination to the Lord. They will never understand righteousness. As a matter of fact, they think that the righteous are foolish because they don't take advantage of greedy gain. They don't take advantage of every situation they can to enrich themselves, regardless of whether it is right or wrong, because they only have one thing in mind, and that is enriching themselves. They're greedy for gain. What can I get for me? The curse of Yahuwah is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. And I was saying yesterday, you can't get away with anything. You know, for the evil man that thinks, well, I can steal, I can do this, I can get away with it, or I can vote. You know, there's a good example of the wicked. You know, you have these guys running for office. I call them the mouth of the beast. And out of their mouth come these things that say, free drugs, free medical care, you know. How about a rebate check? We're going to send everyone a check. We're going to give you, you know, whatever circumstances. So you vote for that guy. Think you can get away with something. You can't get away with nothing. The curse of Yahuwah is in the house of the wicked. And it is wicked to vote for someone who's going to give you something for free, free to you, but steal it from your neighbors. That's wickedness, is it not? So the curse is in your house. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but giveth grace to the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of the fools. Promotion of fools shall be shame. And who are these fools? Well, these are the ones who want to oppress their neighbor by laying heavy burdens on them, devising evil against their neighbor, or at least devising evil against their neighbor by proxy, by the power and the coercion of the state, voting themselves largesse, voting for the man who promises them the most, who has absolutely nothing to give them. He's certainly not going to give them part of his $250,000 or $500,000 salary and pension plan. No, he's going to steal it from your neighbor. He's going to steal it from you. Yes, there's the curse. Part of the curse. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Scorns the scorners and gives grace to the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. So here it is, the book of wisdom, Proverbs. You want to be wise? You want to inherit glory? The opposite is shame. Because if you don't want the wisdom of our Heavenly Father, if you don't want the knowledge and the understanding that only comes from him, then you are a fool. And shame will be your promotion. Shame is shall be the promotion of fools. Yes, and everyone will be ashamed who chooses foolishly in that day when they stand before the great judge in the second resurrection, the resurrection of the shamed, because they will have no answer, and everything that they sought to acquire and enrich themselves with will be gone. There will be nothing, but the wise shall inherit glory. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake you not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only, beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, for she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. With all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. You know, there's a great push in the land. People love the idea of longevity, and they pursue it. But here are the words. Here's the way that our Heavenly Father says to get longevity. Should we not pay attention to him? Absolutely, we should. I'll be back in a few minutes.